Okay. Father, we just we pray for the young. Father, we just pray that you would just move in their hearts. Father, I pray that even though they're learning about you through your word, I pray it would not be just a head knowledge. But Father, it would sink into their hearts. They would know you with all their hearts. And Lord, that they would trust you and depend on you as you move in their lives. Father, let it not just be, let it be an experience, let them experience who you are. Father, let their eyes be open to the truth of the gospel, the truth of who you are. Thank you, Lord, that you give us freedom. And I pray, Lord, that we would serve you with all our hearts, with all our minds, every part of our being, Lord. I pray that these children, Father, would be your ambassadors in the schools to teach and show their friends of who you are. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the last couple weeks we've been talking about humility. How are you guys growing in humility? It's awfully quiet. I take that as a good one. How have we been growing in humility? Doing better? That's good. I think even myself, I've been growing in humility personally this week. Even in the last couple weeks, it's been, I think it's good when we're challenged in a good way. Because we don't want to be stagnant. We don't want to be the same person that how we were last week. We want the Lord to be teaching and making us grow and to depend on Him. I think of in Daniel. You know, Daniel came across a prophecy of Jeremiah, and he seeked after, and he prayed to get understanding of what this prophecy meant. So in Daniel 10:10, it says, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I have spoken to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. For he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Could you imagine this angel talking to you? Right? Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to tremble and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. It's amazing when he says, when he sought after him, he sought after God to have understanding of this prophecy of Jeremiah. And he prayed and humbled himself. And it's amazing, we always think, is God hearing my prayer? Because sometimes God answers our prayer within a few minutes, a day, a week, a month. It could be 6 weeks, 6 months, a year, maybe 10 years. But from the very first day, you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But we have to think, there's a spiritual battle going on. Marv talked about that this morning, how there is a spiritual battle. and we are giving all everything necessary for life and godliness. We have to put on the full armor of God. And a lot of times we forget to put on the full armor of God. We forget that we're in a spiritual battle. You know, Satan really wants us to forget God's word. He wants us to forget that we could trust him. He wants to put doubt in our minds. He doesn't want us to put on the belt of truth. And the belt of truth is the word of God. If he could put situations in your lives that make you not want to read the word of God or worship him, he's winning. The belt of truth is so vital to the believer. And if Satan can make you not want to read the word of God, if he puts doubt in your mind, says, well, that was nice for those people back in that day, but is this really true for you today? There is a battle. There's a battle for your heart. There's a battle for your mind. The helmet of salvation. Right? We put on the helmet of salvation to protect our mind. And also, we're supposed to take captive every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. God has given us those things to take captive of those thoughts. Then the angel said to me, do not fear, Daniel, right? From the first day that you have set your heart to understand and to humble yourself, underline humble, before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone with the kings of Persia. There's a battle. And sometimes we don't understand why our prayers aren't answered when we think they should be answered. So don't give up praying. Do not give up by getting on your knees and asking the Lord and praying to him, trusting him. Because Enid shared to tell you how the Lord encouraged her through worship, through praise, reminding us of who he is, how faithful he is. Jeremiah 33:3, I think, is one of my first scriptures I learned. It says, call on to me. Call on to the Lord. This is what God says. Call on to me and I will answer you. And I'll show you great and unsearchable things that you never knew before. God will answer if we honestly would humble ourselves and seek him. He will show us things that we have questions about. Because we don't know it all. Some of us think we do, right? But that's the pride. I don't know everything. But it's amazing how our Heavenly Father desires us to seek after him. And he desires to reveal us to him. He wants to reveal himself to us. Isn't that a loving God? A God that wants to show you who he is? How much do we forfeit simply because we do not ask our Heavenly Father? How much do we forfeit by not asking him? Because the Bible says, seek after me. Seek and knock, and the door will be open. He says, be like a child and come to me, and I will answer you. Just, you know, there's so many scriptures that talk about seeking after him. John 5:19 says, then Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son cannot do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in the like manner. Jesus is showing that he even sought the Father. He was showing us a template how we should be seeking after the Father. To know what the Father's will is. There's so many self-help books out there for Christians, right? Like how to have a prosperous life, how to do this, and how to grow in your walk. If we would open the Bible, it would show us how to do it. We don't need those. They're good, but sometimes they lead you astray. The Bible, if we seek after the Lord says he will reveal himself to us. He will show us. If we spend time in prayer, on our knees, humbly come before him, he will reveal to us. This is a living word. You know, how many times have you read your Bible and you read one scripture 1 week and then maybe a month from now you read it again and you glean something else from it? It's a living word. God knows what you need at that time. When we fast and pray, we are confessing our weaknesses and expressing our dependence on God alone. Why the church has a hard time praying and fasting. What's the number one, you know, in my class, they asked us, what's the hardest thing for a church to do? What's the hardest thing for the body of Christ to do? Pray. Pray. Right? That's the sad part. We have prayer meeting in the morning on Sundays. So we all come and pray together as a body. Tuesday night, we have quite a bit of people come out praying. And I know people have schedules and stuff, right? But to pray alongside, to be in corporate prayer. Prayer is the hardest thing for a church. For any church. I have 18 pastors in my mentor group. They said the prayer is the hardest thing in their church to foster and to cultivate in their body. Why is it so hard for us to pray? I know we pray at home, and it's great, but corporately we should be praying together because there's strength in that. It's encouragement in that. It just amazes myself, just a desire for us to pray. If we would humble ourselves before the Father, he hears us. Humility is being teachable. In Proverbs 13:10, in the NIV, it says, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. New King James says, by pride comes nothing but strife. But with the will advised is wisdom. Sometimes there's a lot of strife in the church because nobody wants to learn from Marv or Lori or elders or Joyce or somebody who's been, or Kurt, been around the block. Right? We're trying to struggle through it on our own. God has given us people in the body of Christ that we could ask. Or, you know, the Lord reveals to us, right? But he also gives us people in the body of Christ that we could glean from their experiences. So being teachable, asking, can you help me in certain areas? Right? A lot of times pride gets in the way. I don't want to look silly. I don't want to look foolish. I don't want to be like, that's a silly question. Humility shows that you want to be teachable. I know I struggled with that for a while. To be teachable. But even through the last three years, the Lord has been teaching me how to be teachable. Because one of the hardest things as a pastor is to be teachable. Because everybody kind of looks to you and says, well, you must have the answers. You must know that. I don't know everything. I need to be teachable. But that also goes for all of us. Pride gets in the way. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the Lord, you still should be teachable. That shows humility. You know, this is an outstanding example of humility. It's expressed by being teachable. Think of how pride stirs up in the body of Christ and how it brings dissension. Because some people don't want to humble themselves, but pride gets in the way. So why do we need humility? Because God gives us understanding when we are walking in humility. Humility is a godly character trait that we should be growing in. Many think that the key to understand the Bible lies in our minds, knowing the original language, historical facts of the Bible. You know, it's good to know all that. Right? It's good to know the history. But we could lose sight of Jesus in that. If you're always caught up in the history and knowing the law, knowing this and that, but not really having, building all this head knowledge, but not having a personal relationship with Christ, then there's a trouble losing sight of Christ. That's when you start becoming religious. You know, for the church, it's amazing how the church has all these self-help books, have all these stuff at our fingertips. It's amazing how we should be blossoming, the church should be growing, should be expanding, we should be on fire. We should be desiring to reach those who are lost. With all this head knowledge, but yet the church is stagnant. Do you see the church out there preaching or sharing the gospel? The most part of the body of Christ is very ill-equipped because we haven't been mentoring people. And I think that's where I've fallen short. Not mentoring people as I should be. Even people with wisdom should be mentoring people within the body of Christ. I think if we start mentoring people, teaching people with hands-on instead of all this head knowledge, I think then the church will come alive and vibrant, actually putting what we have learned into action. I think of abiding in Christ. John 15:5 says, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I think of the religious leaders who studied the scriptures inside and out. They knew the Torah and the Tanakh. They knew the scriptures inside and out. But they couldn't grasp that the scriptures were pointing to Jesus. They knew the scriptures. You think of the Pharisees and Sadducees and stuff. They knew the scriptures. But when Jesus was with them, you would think if you knew the scriptures, it should be like a light bulb should come on and say, that's who the Messiah is. You see what happens with religion? It's a head knowledge. Marv talked about it on when you opened this morning. Our hearts is what God is after. He's not after our heads. He wants our heart. It's the heart transformation. It's the heart that he wants to transform. He wants us to be like a child and come to him and run to him ever so dependent on Him. Jesus said in Luke 10:21, says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it is good in your sight. The Father reveals to the children, and He calls us to be a child. He doesn't reveal to the wise, but He reveals to those who are humble, who walk in humility, in meekness, who are wanting to be teachable. He reveals more of Himself to them. Does that make sense? He wants us to be teachable. He wants us to be like a child and run to Him with our problems and with our issues. He does want us to know His word, but don't allow it to be head knowledge only. To have it in our heart. You know, God entrusts those who walk in humility, being dependent on the Lord Jesus, listening to the Holy Spirit to guide us in this journey. We're on a journey. We're running a race that He has set us out in. And as we don't know really how to run this race, right, we need to be seeking Him. And He will point us, and He will guide us. That's why He gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to say, you know what, you're not going the right way. Come back this way, right? It's listening to the Holy Spirit, being yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to being teachable. Psalm 25:9 says, the humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way. So that was Psalm 25:9. This is the New King James Version, so. It says, the humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way. Psalm 25:9. I love that. And the humble He teaches His way. He's saying that if you're dependent on Him, He will teach you. He will show you. Right? And sometimes when we become a child of God, there's in our lives we have pride issues. Because I know none of us, only me, has to deal with pride. None of you guys have to deal with pride. I know you guys are so walking humility, you don't have any pride. You don't just me to have to deal with this, but to be humble so that He teaches. He teaches us if we walk in humility. You think of David as a young man. Think how God taught him through trials, through his tribulations, to trust Him. Right? And I know eventually when he came to king of Israel, he blew it. But what was his first thing he would do? Most part he would do is repent. There's a couple times where he never did, but then the prophet came and spoke to him. But he repented. And what did God say? He was a man after His own heart. That blows me. For a guy who committed adultery and did all this stuff because he sought after God. Even though he wasn't perfect, and none of us are perfect, God is working in us and through us. He is developing us. He's preparing us to run this race that He has placed us in. But all He asks of us is to come and humbly come to Him like a child and ask Him to open your eyes when you read His word, so that His word would penetrate into our hearts and transform our hearts. That's what He's asking. He's asking us, and He's drawing us to himself. You know, God dwells with the humble. And he doesn't want visitations. You know, he doesn't. You know how you go to visitations? So I'm going to call and I'm going to visit somebody. He doesn't want visitations. God does not want visitations from us. He desires us to seek after him with all our heart and habitate with him every day. Just like how he created Adam and Eve in the garden to habitate with him day in and day out. Not just a visitation when we feel like, oh Lord, I'm going to give you this slot time. Right? It's amazing. He doesn't want a visitation. He wants us to walk in habitating with him. Making a habit being with him. So we'll bring up Isaiah. We're going to read this. Isaiah 57. So Kirk, can you turn off the first row of lights? So Isaiah 57:13 says, when you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. They can't, can they? So Isaiah 57:13, when you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. Next slide. But the wind will carry them all away. A breath will take them. Next. But he who puts his trust in him, in me, in God Almighty, shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Next. Healing. This is healing for the backslider. This is the, you know. And one shall say, heap up, heap up. Heap it up, heap it up. Next. Prepare the stumbling block out of the way of my people. God is going to take the stumbling block out of his people if they humble themselves, if they seek after him. Was there another one after that?
Yeah.
Okay. For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternal those whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has contrite and humble spirit. With him who has a contrite and yielded spirit. So I had to look up what contrite was, because like I said, I don't know everything. Contrite means expressing remorse, repentance, affected by conviction. So those who have, with him who has contrite and humble spirit, God is going to reveal to those who are contrite and humble in spirit. Next, so it says, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God will do that. If only if we would humble ourselves and be those contrite people that confess our sins, cry out, Lord, forgive me when I blow it. Forgive me for being grumpy or yelling or screaming, doing whatever it is. Lord, I humbly come to you because I don't want this in me anymore. I don't want this attitude of pride and arrogance in my heart anymore. It's amazing how God reveals that in our lives. Why? Because he wants us to walk in holiness. He's purifying us. So how can we grow in humility? 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So how do we walk in humility? 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in good time. It's God that lifts you up. It's God that exalts you and presents you. He says, so how do we become, where do we begin to be, how to walk in humility? Need to ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and reveal. And we've been talking about Psalm 139, 23 to 24. Search my heart, O God. Know my thoughts. Right? Search my heart. And he's going to identify areas in our lives where there's pride, where there's arrogance. He's going to reveal that before our goodness. And so when we deal with this, right, we're showing that we are wanting him and desiring to be changed by him. We repent of it. Everyone struggles with pride at times. You're not alone. And this must be confessed. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you if there's pride. And your wife's going to, or your wife or your husband's going to tell you too, honey, you're walking in pride today. Or your friends are going to say, you know, maybe you're walking in pride today. Maybe you walk around a little bit of arrogance. That's why we should be working in communion with one another. Because it's easy to hide things. When you live in a community, you can only fake it for so long. And then we start living with people or interacting with people, they start to see really some areas in your lives that were in your life where it needs to be dealt with. So if you have anger issues or bitterness, resentment, those will come to the surface eventually. Right? And a lot of people don't want to interact with other people because they're worried that they'll be found out for how they are outside of church. But just think of it. The body of Christ is a place of where purification happens. When iron meets iron, we sharpen each other. And it reveals things in our own lives that need to be dealt with. But you notice how the Holy Spirit is very gentle when he reveals stuff? I would suggest spouses be the same way. Or friends be the same way. Be gentle. Encourage one another. Don't be harsh. I'm learning that. Sometimes when there's struggles in our lives where the Lord's really speaking to us and he reveals some stuff that need to be dealt with, maybe sometimes this could be a pattern in our own lives that could be a signal or that shows that maybe we're dealing with some certain things need to be dealt with. So, am I teachable? Right? Those are questions I say, Lord, am I walking in humility? And one way to know that you're walking in humility, am I teachable? Do I submit, this is another question, do I submit to those who are in spiritual leadership over me? Or do I pretend to submit, then go and do whatever I'm going to do in the first place? It's amazing in my class, like I said, 18 different pastors, and we were asked that question. Because, you know, we got 18 pastors in a class, and you got one pastor that's mentoring us. And sometimes some pride, because you get these characteristics of a pastor. Some are very vocal, some are in your face. And it's hard for some pastors to be teachable. Because a lot of people think, oh, I know it all. That's a hard one. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do it just to make them happy, but not go and do it. That shows you're not walking in humility, and there's pride there. I've learned a lot from being teachable in the last 3 years, just over the last 3 years. It's amazing when you actually say, you know what, I don't know it all. I think sometimes the congregation puts so much pressure on a pastor thinking that he knows it all, that sometimes they fake until they make it. Right? But as a congregation, our first person we should be seeking from is the Lord Jesus. Seek him, because he will reveal. And if we're seeking him, that means we're going to be in the Word of God. Don't put the pastor on this pedestal, whatever church people go to. Don't ever put a pastor on a pedestal, because that becomes an idol. And I don't want it to be a hindrance or an idol to anybody. Do I depend on God through prayer, or do I depend on my abilities and my experiences to get things done? I had to check off that one. Do I depend on God through prayer, or do I depend on my abilities and experiences to get things done? The second part of that. Do I depend on my abilities? At times. And my experiences to get things done? At times. But I'm learning. Depend on God through prayer, though. Like when I asked about prayer, it's the hardest thing. Even for myself, your life gets busy, and I get that. But there has to be a time when you're going to say, Lord, I'm going to truly dedicate these hours to you in prayer. At times, right, prayer is important for all of us. Is keep us in communication with the Lord. Pride, when we pray, it shows that I'm being dependent on him. So, next one. Do I treat everyone the same, no matter what their situation in life is? Do I treat everybody the same, no matter where they are at in their lives? Do I think I'm better than them at times? Because if I start thinking that, that's pride. That's not walking in humility. Am I judgmental? Do I often criticize others? I think a lot of times in the body of Christ, we see that. We like to criticize others. We like to look at the big plank in their eyes. Meanwhile, we got this huge plank in our eyes. We're knocking everybody out around us instead of dealing with the garbage in our own lives. That's what I'm talking about. We like to be critical about others, but we don't want to say, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, Kyle, you need to be dealing with this. And I'm like, oh, no. Right? He's speaking to us. Am I listening to what he's speaking to me about? First, I think if we deal with our own garbage first, it's different when you see a brother walking and saying, go and talk to him, yes. But don't be picking out every critical thing about them. Meanwhile, you're doing the exact same thing. Deal with your own garbage. Have grace towards your spouses when they are walking maybe not a certain way, not humility. Do I try to draw attention to myself? Because if you are, then you're not walking in humility. That's pride. Because you try to look at me, look at me. Do I yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit? That's a big one. Do I yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit? Have I quenched the Holy Spirit? If we have, confess it and repent. I always say, Holy Spirit, forgive me for quenching my life today. Forgive me for not listening to your promptings. Forgive me for my pride and my arrogance. Forgive me for thinking that I know better than you. And I confess this in Jesus' name. That's a humble heart. Because we can quench the Holy Spirit. And if we quench the Holy Spirit enough, we wonder, why doesn't God speak to me? Why can't I hear God's voice? The reason is because your heart has grown hard and calloused. Confess and repent of I did that last night. I was doing this, there's some of these things I learned in my class to deal some with this stuff. Confess and repent of anything that was mentioned, or perhaps even if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about something else that you need to repent about it. Repent. Get right with God. Confess it. Because as Marv even shared this morning, when we, if we don't deal with it, it's like a shackle coming onto our leg. And on that shackle, there's another link of a chain, another one. But it starts becoming like a bondage. We're bound to something. If we don't deal with it, we're going to be in bondage. So as in closing, I says, let us pray for the desire and ability to become humble in the affected areas of our lives. I know I have areas of my lives in my life that I need to walk or be helped to walk in humility. So that our Heavenly Father will be glorified as we lean and trust in Him for everything. Pride is an ugly thing. Trusting in our own abilities is an ugly thing. Not dealing with the things that the Lord wants us to deal with is a bondage. That's how we get in bondage. That's how we don't grow. And as we seek the Lord, He's going to answer. And He's going to reveal. And as we spend time with godly people who are God-fearing people, God will use them as well. I want to close in Philippians 2:13. It says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to for His good pleasure. It's God that works in us. Not that I work it out. But I need to be yielding to Him. So there's a participation. He reveals. I confess and repent of it. And I'm going to walk in His truth. With Him lifting me up and encouraging me along the way. And to start building, you know, as He works things out of it, He's flushing all that garbage out. And He's able to make us more like Christ. It's one thing about the gospel. It's sanctification. I thank God for His sanctification. It's a really an eye-opener. If God didn't love you, He would not keep on working and changing you. He wants to see his children set free from bondage. He wants his children to walk, be like Christ. He wants his children to be set free in so many areas. And he desires that his children would love him with all their hearts, their mind, body, and soul, that their lives would reveal himself to others, that we would truly be the light of this world. That Christ, when we open our mouths, we would be speaking about Christ. He wants us to be his ambassadors, sharing the good news of Christ to others. Speak of the resurrected Jesus. He's the one, because if I speak of him, it speaks of humility, that I know where my strength comes from, that I don't have to, that it's, if I can't open my mouth and share about the good news of Jesus, ask the Lord, Lord, why can't I? Do I feel ashamed? Do I doubt? Lord, help me not to be afraid of man. Maybe that's a big one. I think all of us have been times in our lives that we've been afraid of man, of sharing the good news of Jesus, because we're afraid, what happens if I look foolish? What happens if I pray for somebody and nothing happens? But it's not you that does it. When we pray, we're looking to the source. Oops, my phone. But we'll... Perhaps we would take a moment and just ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, I confess these things to you. Lord, let me be obedient to you. Let me want to abide in you more and more all the time. Forgive me when I try to do things on my own, in my own strength. Lord, forgive me at times when I have quenched your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you that you say when we confess things to you, that you remember them no more. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to look to you, keep our eyes fixed on you. And as we walk through this, Lord, with you, Lord, these things that trip me up, Father, would not trip me up anymore, but become less and less as I trust and depend on you more and more all the time. Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for who you are. I pray, Father, that you would just continue to reveal in our lives areas where pride is operating. Lord, let us desire to trust you more. And I thank you, Lord, that you're hearing our prayers. Just like in Daniel, Father, you hear our prayers right from, because they're lined up to what your will is. Lord, to honor you so that you be glorified in our lives. Father God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you, Lord, for how patient you are with us. And I pray, Father, that I pray that you would stir a love and a passion for us to pray, to be on our knees, being prayerful, and, Father, to trust in you and to depend on you in so many different areas of our lives. Lord, let us be a place of prayer. Let the body of Christ be a body of prayer warriors, not just in this church, but every church that is God-fearing, who puts you is the pinnacle, the center point of all the church. Lord, you are the head of the church. Lord, I pray that the body of Christ would worship you and to spend time with you, to praise you, to commune with you. Father God, I pray that you wake up the body of Christ. Lord, I pray that the body of Christ will come alive. Father, that would speak volumes of who you are to a world that is dying and a world that is walking in deception. I pray, Father, as we spend time with you, Lord, that you would revive us and quicken us and strengthen us. And I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you want prayer, we could pray with you and encourage you.